God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. Let's pray for our offering this morning.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, how great is Your name, and we're so thankful that You will make a way where there seems no way. So, Father, we just pray now that You would bless this offering we're about to take, that You might further Your kingdom here on earth, here in Mountain Grove, and beyond. Father, we just pray Your blessing on it. We thank You, and we love You, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on You. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on You. It is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on You. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on You. It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my my eyes are on you, it is well with me.
Thank you, Sabrina. That was awesome. Well, as you know, Pastor Jay and Kay are not here this morning. They are visiting some family and kind of making the rounds, so be praying for them as they travel and they head back, and they will be back next Sunday. So I get the privilege to introduce my dad. These two people sitting down here are the two people that showed me what living for Jesus Christ is all about, and I can't be more excited to introduce my dad to you this morning to bring you the word. Rick Posey.
Well, it's a joy to be with you all this morning. I love to see God's house filled with people. It's awesome. And so it's just great to be with you this morning. I was excited when Brother Jay called me a couple weeks ago to see if I could fill in for him today. And when he called me, as soon as I answered the phone, he said, "Hey, big boy, how's it going?" That's funny in itself. But what's even more funny is that 99% of the planet's taller than he is. But I love Brother Jay. I love to give him a hard time, and we just have a wonderful friendship that goes back to our days when I pastored in Branson, and he pastored in Branson for a long, long time too. And that's how we got to know each other. And then we both moved to the Harrison, Arkansas area and pastored down there, and we got even closer. And so he's just been a tremendous friend and a mentor in my life over the years. And so it's just an honor to be asked of him to come and stand in this pulpit today and share with you what's on my heart, what God has put on my heart. And so today I want us to look in the book of Acts, and I'll let you find that. We're going to be in the 8th chapter today, beginning in verse 1. But you know, I was thinking about all the songs that we have sung this morning, and what a wonderful time of praise and worship. I don't think we can sing too much about Jesus, our Messiah, the name that is above every name, because you know, one of these days, he's coming back, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But you know, the important thing is that we do that now, that we trust him as our Savior now, before it's too late, because this is the life he's given us. And this is the time that the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and we need to be thinking about that. We need to be considering the magnitude of everlasting life, because Jesus makes a way. I love that song that we sang just a little bit ago, but the deal is, he is the way. He said it himself. I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's a lot of ways out there in the world that we live in today, but they're all wrong. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And so I've come to share the gospel with you today. And so in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts is where we're going to start today. I got to give you a little bit of background, though, because chapter 7 just goes right on into chapter 8. And chapter 8 starts in kind of an odd spot there when you look at verse 1. But you remember as the church was rapidly growing there in the first century after Jesus' ascension, a lot of changes were being made. They had to raise up some new leadership to help the apostles. Because, I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of people were coming to know Jesus Christ. The Bible even tells us that a bunch of them priests that were against Jesus during his ministry, a bunch of them got saved and come to the knowledge of truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they chose some men who could be utilized in the early church there to help with just serving the people. And that's when the apostles got together along with the congregation, and they chose 7 men full of the Holy Spirit to help with the feeding of the widows who were being overlooked. And can you imagine a church that was rapidly growing? I mean, we're talking hundreds, sometimes every day, people, many would get saved. And so it was causing all kinds of trouble, taking care of the needs in the church. I like those kind of problems, actually. It's when you're not growing. That's the problems I don't like within the church. But they were having good problems, and so God was leading them to raise up men to help lead in that. And chapter 7 is all about one of those men. His name's Stephen. And not only did he take on the position of deacon, but he was an evangelist. And I mean, the Holy Spirit was using this man in a tremendous, tremendous way. And so we see all through the seventh chapter there, he was preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. And guess what? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the scribes, the Jews, they didn't like what was going on because they were losing ground. They were losing people to this thing called Christianity. They called it the Way. And Stephen was one of those great spokesmen for the Way. And of course, at the end of it, when you look at from verse number 51 all the way down to the last of chapter 7, of course, Stephen got real blunt with these men, called them stiff-necked, and the ones who actually murdered Jesus Christ. I mean, he just got right in their faces and told them how it was, and I guess it cost him his life as they screamed at the top of their lungs. They closed their ears. They couldn't stand what this man was saying, and they took him outside, and we know that they stoned him to death. And, of course, a man that we all know as Paul today, the apostle, his name was Saul at that time, and he was the instigator. He was the leader of this group who stoned Stephen. And we see there in chapter 8, verse 1, the first word there is Saul. So Saul agreed with putting him to death. And on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. But devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church, and he would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way proclaiming the message of good news. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and preached the Messiah to them. The crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said as they heard and saw the signs he was performing. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the gospel is the power unto salvation. We thank you that Jesus saves. He's still in that saving business this morning. And we just pray, God, that your word would penetrate deep within our hearts. Because we know back in Isaiah's prophecy, it says that your word never returns back to you void or empty. But it does what you command it to do. And so that's all we ask, Lord, today, that your word would just be alive and well deep within us today, and the power of your Holy Spirit would just move in our hearts and make us receptive to what your will is for all of our lives. We just bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this great church today, God. And we just want you to receive glory and honor for all that is done and said here today, and then the decisions that will be made. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, when you look at this passage, we see that Stephen's death was a game changer. I mean, the church from this point on, once he is martyred, would never be the same. And some would think that if you just get rid of the leader or the mouthpiece of a movement like this early church, it would be a tremendous blow to the organization, and it would just lose its steam and finally die off. But what we see is just the opposite according to the scriptures, because what happened was just the opposite effect. The church continued to grow. And of course, we see in these scriptures that it's scattered. Now, I feel like I'm scattered today. Because last Sunday I was in Tennessee and Kentucky preaching in churches down there. And then I preached to a bunch of pastors on Monday. That was fun, preaching to a bunch of pastors. You just try to get your digs in when you can. We know all about that. But it was fun. A lot of traveling, coming back to Omaha, and then turn around, we get a phone call, and now we got to go to the hospital. So timing is everything. God has a sense of humor when things happen, but it all happens at the same time. And I just feel like my life is just scattered right now. I haven't slept in my own bed for, I don't know how many days it's been, but it's a bunch. So I'm kind of ready to do that again. But you know, sometimes our lives are scattered, aren't they? Y'all deal with that. But I think sometimes it's a good thing, because when we get scattered and we don't know if we're coming or going, sometimes I think God uses that so that we'll walk by faith and not by sight. That we'll trust Him for everything that goes on in our lives. And sometimes it's not good things, but sometimes it's marvelous things. You know, I got a lot of titles in my life. You know, I've been called pastor, been called Brother Rick, or just Rick. Maybe some things I don't really care to be said about me, but you know, just that's the way it is. But I've been called Dad. That's what Jim calls me. Erica, our daughter, calls me Daddy. But I think the greatest title that I have now is Pawpaw. I just melt. I'm done. You know. Especially when Sadie and Carly call me Pawpaw. It's pretty good stuff, you know. Those are mild times, but there's other times that we get scattered and we don't know what direction to do, or we don't know what God's will is. And I'm sure the church was going through the same thing at this time. And you see, God had a purpose in the church being scattered, you know. Everything happens to us according to what God is going to allow happen to us. No, don't ever think that something's going in your life for no purpose. Because if you are a child of the King, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's got your life. It's solid, it's secure, and He's got a plan for everything that goes on. And you see, He had a plan for the church here in the first century. And not only did the church multiply in numbers at this time, it scattered all over the place and continued to grow at a rapid pace. And sometimes God has to move us out of our comfort zones to accomplish His will in our lives, and sometimes He moves us out of our comfort zone to help other people find God's will for their lives. And so, you know, God is all about changing lives, and He wants to change you today. When you come to church and worship the Lord Jesus Christ today, you came in one way, but I'm telling you, He doesn't want you to leave the same way. He wants you to be a little bit closer to Him and give you a little bit more direction of what He wants you to do. There's a purpose for God's people gathering in the name of Jesus. And so God is all about changing lives. And then we look at this passage of Scripture. It starts out by Saul agreed to putting this man to death. And so we would think that Stephen's death was a tragedy. Okay? But his death was the very spark that ignited a movement that took the gospel into some of the most darkest places known in the world in that day. You know, God can use the faith of one man to absolutely turn the world upside down. Think about Jesus. He chose 12 men. You know, they bought into this thing that Jesus started. And then He was crucified, you know, risen on the third day, and then comes to the mountain to be ascended back to heaven, and basically said, okay, guys, it's all yours. Take it and run with it. And that's exactly what those 12 men did, you know. And so one faith, or the faith of 12 men, can turn the world upside down. And I'm here to tell you that Mountain Grove First Baptist Church, God can take this church and turn this community upside down for His glory. We just got to be willing to follow Him, whatever step that He might want us to take. Good friends of ours, Ying and Grace Kai, they're Chinese. They were IMB missionaries for many, many years over in Taiwan, Hong Kong. And to make a long story short, Ying and Grace, they were fabulous church planters. And after they had started their third church in Hong Kong, had been going for about 6 years, and they grew to about 800 people. Him and Grace personally were leading about 17 people to Christ every year, just the pair of them. Isn't that awesome? You know? That's just a, wonderful. And so the church grows to 800 people in 6 years, but one day Ng was walking down through the streets of Hong Kong, and he just... his heart got shattered because he was seeing the millions and millions of people all over Hong Kong and over into mainland China. And he basically said, God, what we're doing is not good enough. And I'm thinking, wow, he's already got a mega church, but it wasn't good enough for Ng. And so him and Grace, they went in this time period of studying the Gospels and the book of Acts and began to pray and ask God to give them a vision of how they could reach more people in a rapid pace. And to make a long story short, in 10 years from that point, they started helping people share their story and start house churches. And it is estimated, and this was confirmed by the IMB, by many other missionaries coming in that spoke the Mandarin language, they started 200,000 house churches and 2 million people were baptized within a 10-year period. God can take one man or one woman and do something amazing for his name. And we shouldn't count God short on these things. We don't serve a little God. We serve the God of the universe. And we see the same things going on here in the book of Acts. In the first three verses, we really get... Sometimes I wish God would have put a little bit more information in there for us, you know. But what we get here is a 30,000-foot view of what was going on in the first church. The Jews, they were in absolute chaos. They couldn't figure out what was going on and why this church was expanding in numbers the way it was. And, of course, the devil didn't like it because he was losing numbers. The Jews were losing ground. They were losing people. They didn't like it. And, you know, to me that just proves the scripture so much true in the first chapter of John when it says, you know, the light come into the world and the darkness didn't like it. And I'm here to tell you, any time that you and I go out and spread light, the light of the gospel to people in our area, where it is, where, you know, they don't know God, the devil's not going to like it, you know? Because we expose the darkness, and he doesn't like to be exposed in that way, but the light of the gospel is what our world absolutely needs today. Well, darkness was going on here because Saul was full of darkness. Satan had him right where he wanted him to be, and he was the ringleader of the church's opposition. But even in his great zeal to stop the church, God was working in a way to overpower anything that the evil one could throw at his church. And you see, the gospel would go forth according to what Jesus said it would. Remember, he said, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. Because it's God's church. Jesus died for us. And we are the church of the living God. Are you excited about that today? Are you excited about that today? Amen. We should be. What an awesome thing the Lord has done for us. So this morning, the title of my message today is Scattered. And that's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's a really, really good thing. And you see, verse 3 tells us that this Saul was ravaging the church. You think, well, that's a terrible thing. And it was, in one sense. The language there is a picture and a profile of Satan himself. Because Satan is a devourer. And he is making every attempt to ravage the church then, and he's still doing it today. You know? We see problems within the church of Jesus Christ today. And I guarantee it's all Satan-induced, every bit of it. And you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood within the body of Christ. We fight against the enemy, you know, the principalities, the powers, the one who really is in major control of this earth. And that's Satan himself. And we have to deal with that, and we've got to keep our faith strong in the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome this ravaging that Satan wants to do. Because the Bible says, and Peter would have known this so well, he said he's like a roaring lion just waiting and ready to pounce and devour somebody. And guess what? He'll choose you and he'll choose me to do whatever he can to cause havoc within God's church, and keep our focus on reaching people for Christ. That's the way it works. And you see, he will use whatever tactics necessary, but his great problem, and it was then and it still is today, is the fact that Jesus is a promise keeper. And he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and remind us of all the things that we need to know to go out and follow through with the commandments that he gave us as the New Testament church. And so with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually go to the Great Commission. You know, go ye therefore, Jesus said, and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the things that I've taught you. I think the second part of the Great Commission is Acts 1:8. And I love this, and I want to emphasize the word will in that verse, because Jesus said this. He said, but you will, okay, not maybe, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Folks, the power of the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. It's the same now as it was then. In fact, Christ doesn't change. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we still have him helping us with all that he wants us to do. And so we will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the apostles and all of the disciples up to this point, chapters 1 through 7, they were all in Jerusalem, okay? This was a Jerusalem church. They had been extremely obedient to go out and share the good news of the gospel. They were being faithful to the Lord Jesus. But it wasn't a complete fulfillment of what God called them to do. And so now it was time for God to help them move on to the next step. And that next step was the Judean countryside. And then into Samaria. Can you believe that God would call them to go to Samaria to a people they didn't like? God does that. You know? He wants us to reach all people. And so Saul thought he could just lock the Jerusalem church up in jail, throw away the key, and it would stop this movement. Well, the last time I checked, when you start fighting against God, it just doesn't work out too well. Do I hear any testimonies this morning about fighting against God? You'll probably stand up and say, yeah, it didn't work out too well for me either. And that's the way it is. And it didn't work out great for Saul. But, you know, in fact, I think sometimes God will blindside you to get you moving in the right direction of his will. And Saul had that happen to him in a literal sense. Not only was he blindsided by the Lord Jesus Christ, he was blinded. You know, that's what happens when you fight against God sometimes. But this was also the case in the early church, because God wanted to get them out of Jerusalem. He wanted his gospel to go to the ends of the earth to fulfill the Great Commission. And, you know, it's interesting to me that God works with us to help us be obedient to his word. You know, we don't do this alone. We have the power within us through the Holy Spirit. He helps us and guides us and prompts our hearts to walk up to that one we know who is far from God and say, let me tell you a story that happened in my life. Let me tell you about a man who changed my life. Let me tell you about a man who will give you everlasting life, and his name is Jesus. And so that was God's will for the church here. And, you know, as much as we don't like to think about it, persecution can be a really good thing. And it was a really good thing here in Acts chapter 8, because this persecution strengthened the church and it galvanized their resolve to get the word out. And I think that's something that we need desperately in our churches today, is to have a new revived resolve to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to continually get the word out so that people can be saved. And if you look at the context here in verse 4 especially, and you look at the people of the church, their lives were totally upended. I mean, many of them, you know, they were running for their lives away from Saul. They didn't want to be put in jail. You know, he was the instigator of all of this. They probably lost their houses. They lost their livelihoods, left belongings behind. I mean, they were scattered and upended in every way possible. But the Bible says, yet they went on their way sharing their story about Jesus. Because they had a resolve. They were new people. God had changed them. The old had gone away and the new had come in their lives. And folks, that ought to be great encouragement for us when we find ourselves in just situations that we really don't want to be in. But when we do find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation, it ought to be for us working with God and utilizing whatever situation it is for the purpose of sharing about how good God is, even in a miserable situation. I've looked through the Gospels a zillion times, and I've never found a statement in there from Jesus that said coming to follow him was going to be an easy thing. In fact, he said just the opposite. He said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. It's going to happen. But you know what? God will use that in an amazing way if we will just be faithful to follow him. Now, Jesus never promised us a rose garden of any kind, but he certainly said at the end of that Great Commission, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So, what's God doing here in this passage? Well, he calls a man by the name of Philip, and he was also one of those seven whom the apostles appointed to help in the church work there. And so God calls Philip to go into Samaria, new territory, okay? People that the Jews didn't like. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews any more than them. But that's what God did. I wonder how many perfectionists we have in here this morning. How many of you keep a detailed calendar? Everything is all in place, and when somebody stirs that up, you just get all bent out of shape. My wife's one of them. Where'd she go? There you go. She's scattered somewhere. But that, you know, we don't like our apple carts messed up, do we? You know, sometimes. But I'm telling you, that's what was going on in the church here. And so Philip goes down and he preaches the gospel, and it just stirs up everything. Well, I just learned that it's okay to be scattered. You know, my personality, I'm not a perfectionist who has to have my ducks all in a row. I'd like to change and do things and, you know, just off the cuff. Fly by the seat of my pants. That's just kind of how I live life. It's fun, and I don't necessarily get into great details of doing things. So, you know, it's fun for me, but I know that would drive other people crazy, you know? But that's what we see here. And it's okay to be scattered in a different place. And what I like about it is it teaches us a faith lesson, okay? And I talked about that early on. Because all of these Christians were being literally run out of their homes, and they had to walk by faith and not by sight. And I think too many times we have everything so scheduled, okay? We don't have to have faith to do a lot of these things. We just go through life. Living in Omaha, Nebraska, we have learned that so much, and especially in the neighborhood that we live in. These families have nice homes, nice cars, all the wonderful toys, you know, they can possibly have for their families. But guess what? They don't need faith. They don't need faith in God because they have everything this world can offer. And so they walk by sight in life. But that's not what God has called us as Christians, as believers. We are to walk by faith. And so what a tremendous faith lesson this is for us. And I think one of the reasons that these people, when they got scattered out of their homes and run out of Jerusalem, and they started walking by faith instead of sight, is because they had such a warm and precious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved Him, and they knew what He had done for them by saving them from their sin, and they didn't have any more sense but to just go and share Jesus everywhere they went. And you know what that is? That's a picture of them being like Jesus. You know, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that we are to imitate God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave up His life for us and was a fragrant sacrifice and offering to God. That's the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live as well. They were so much like Jesus. And here they are, scattered, lost their homes, everything. But you remember what Jesus said? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. And you see, that situation never stopped Christ from fulfilling His Father's will. And it never stopped these new believers who were run out of Jerusalem. And it should never stop us. We need to keep on being the church of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if He is for us, who can be against us? That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And that's just the way our Lord is. So, when you look at this passage, and this is where we get down to where we live as believers. What happens when you share your faith like Philip did in Samaria? What happens to us as believers when we get scattered out of our comfort zones? Well, I want to look at this in depth. If you'll look with me there in verses 6, 7, and 8, four things that really just jumped out at me. And the first one is that when you are scattered for the gospel, people pay attention. It says in verse 6, the crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said as they heard and saw the signs he was performing. Now, what that tells me is that the gospel changes everything. Okay? And when we live out the Christian life and share it with people who are far from God, they take notice of it. The fields are white for harvest. Now, get a picture in your mind. You know somebody who is far from God. It may be a family member, may be a friend, a coworker. And I know everybody in this room already has got a name in their mind of somebody who is far from God. Don't you? Just quickly. We know people who are far from God. I was here in Mountain Grove yesterday at Walmart. You can find lost people in Walmart. They're there. You can just look at them a little bit, listen to their conversations, and you know that Christ is not a part of their lives. And that's what this new church was doing. They were finding these people and they were sharing the gospel because they remember the teaching of Jesus, especially the apostles, whenever he was in the town of Sychar one day and he ministered to the woman at the well. And after she got saved and went back and told the whole town, they all started coming. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, look, the fields are white for the harvest. And guess what? He stayed 2 days. The whole town probably trusted in him as Lord and Savior. And you see, our command from our Lord is to go out and find these people and make disciples out of them. And I think the promise is right there. The crowds will pay attention to this when we go out and be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. People are going to pay attention. The second thing is that when you're scattered for the gospel, people become clean instead of unclean. Verse number 7. That's what it says. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Now, obviously, that's talking about demon possession there. But folks, when you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've got darkness in your life. And you need that. You need to be delivered from that. And you need to become clean instead of unclean. I got to share the story about Chad. We met Chad 3 years ago in our neighborhood in Omaha, and he came to one of our block parties, him and his wife. And then from that point on, they started coming to church there in our house. Shannon made a profession of faith not long after that. We baptized her in Lake Cunningham, and Chad kept coming with her. And the first Sunday that he was there, I gave him a Bible because he didn't bring one, and we went through the service, and we were teaching the scriptures, and afterwards, I was visiting with him, and I said, now, Chad, do you have a Bible? And he said, no, and I said, well, you keep that one. And he said, okay, but he said, Rick, I got to be honest. This is a 47-year-old man, okay, lived in Omaha all his life. He said, I got to be honest. I never read the Bible before, ever, not one time. So this is a first for me. And I said, well, now you can read it. It's yours. Well, 2.5 years later, Monday, Chad made his profession of faith in Jesus Christ because he's been under the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I baptized him in Lake Cunningham Tuesday evening. It was just a wonderful thing that God delivered him from uncleanness to cleanness and knowing Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I got a text from him this morning. He put a scripture out on text. Texted it to the whole church. And God is changing him. And you see, when you and I scatter the gospel, I'm here to tell you, people are going to get saved. It's going to happen. God promises that it will when we go in His power. And so it's an absolute miracle when one person is transformed out of darkness and comes to a new life in Jesus Christ. And Philip was being used here. He's just simply going out and telling people about Jesus. That's what he was doing. And the enemy had to flee from these people's lives, just like the enemy had to flee out of Chad's life. Now, he's got a new life in Jesus Christ. So, people are going to pay attention. People are going to be clean instead of unclean. And then the third thing is that when you're scattered for the gospel, people enjoy healing in their lives. That's the last part of verse 7 because it says, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Did you know that people without Jesus are perishing all around us every day? People are perishing. They don't know the living God. They are paralyzed to the worldly ways and cannot walk in the Spirit of the living God. That can only happen by trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what they needed was they needed a Philip to invade their darkness so that they could experience the light. Just change your name to Philip. Because that's what our world needs. That's what Mountain Grove needs. It needs Philips to go out and share the amazing love of God in Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing, this really gets me excited when I think about the fourth thing when you're scattered for the gospel, is that it brings joy into the community. Look at verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. Repeat that with me. So there was great joy in that city. What would happen in Mountain Grove and in your county, if everybody heard the gospel 10 times, what would happen? You could come to church on Sunday and quote verse 8 every Sunday if you guys did that. Because I guarantee you there would be great joy in this city if the gospel went out in that type of magnitude. It would totally transform not only your city, but your county. If one man can spread the gospel in China and start 200,000 churches and baptize 2 million, what could a congregation of 400 do? If we just be obedient to what God has called every one of us as disciples of Jesus Christ to do, it would transform this area. And the bottom line is that you and I are God's conduit to do this. We're commanded. And we have the power to do it because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us. And you know, I was thinking about this passage and how these folks got scattered out of what they knew and had to start walking by faith instead of sight. And it's really the same thing happened in the Old Testament. Because when you go back and you look at the history of the Old Testament, all of it was a walk by faith. It began with Abram when he was called by God to leave where he was to go to a place that he never knew. He had no idea where he was going, but he just had faith and went. Okay? Then you go on and we find this guy by the name of Moses who was told to go and free his people who were in bondage. And by God's grace and by his faith, he went, they were delivered, and God started a nation of people. Joshua. I love Joshua. He's a man who's called by God. What an exciting Old Testament book that is. But he was chosen by God to lead the people into the promised land. And he was faithful to that call. And he took all kinds of territory away from the enemy. Are you sick and tired of the devil winning in our culture? I want to take some territory back. And the way we do that is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of seeing people lost. I want to see people be saved. Jonah. I like Jonah in the Old Testament. He was a man that was told to go preach to the people of Nineveh. That would have been his Samaria, people that he truly hated. Okay, they were a ruthless people, but God said, you got to go preach to them. He said, I ain't going, God. And we know he didn't. He went the other direction. But you remember whenever I said, sometimes it doesn't work out when we don't do what God wants us to do? You might get swallowed up by something. Jonah found that out in a real way. And then he finally got it right the second time around when God called him to go do it again. Just go do it. And he did, and the whole city got saved. One man. Okay? Think about your influence. People you know that are far from God. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. God scattered Daniel to a faraway land, not his own. God gave him a complete revelation of world history. You know, God used him that way. I'm so glad we have the book of Daniel today because we know what's going to happen all the way to the end. God called Ezra to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. To me, I take that and apply it to our own lives where God has called us to go rebuild people's lives by sharing Jesus Christ. And we do it by faith. God called Nehemiah to leave Babylon and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God's called us to do the same thing. But you know, the greatest of all of this is when we talk about Jesus, because God told his one and only Son to leave glory, leave heaven, put heaven aside, put your glory aside for a time, to go down to a sin-sick world and save a guy like Rick. That's what God told Jesus to do. In fact, he was told to seek out and save the lost, and Jesus even told that to the crowd that Zacchaeus was in one day. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus is still doing it today. He's still seeking people out. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard the gospel many, many times, but you've just not surrendered to that truth. Maybe Jesus is seeking you out right now. And I'm telling you, the decision for you is to say, okay, Lord, I'm coming. I've fought it for years. Now it's time. I just need to turn my life over to you. I know I'm a sinner, and I need saving. God, would you save me? And I promise you, he will do that today. There's other people probably in this congregation today that God's been stirring your heart for years to do something special for him. Maybe it's a call into the ministry. Maybe God's wanting you to be a missionary in a certain place. What are you waiting on? God will bless you, and God will equip you and give you everything you need to go do what he's calling you to do. Maybe you need to come to the altar today and say, okay, God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm ready to surrender now. Maybe you just need to have a revival begin in your heart. And you know you've been maybe stagnant in your Christian life. And you just need to come down here and pray and give it all back to the Lord and say, Lord, revive me again. Touch my heart so that I will love you more and be obedient to what you've called me to do. Be scattered for the Lord. Just be obedient. And I promise you, he will bless you all along the way. Let's stand and pray. Lord, you have given us your word. It's living. It's active. And there's no other book on the planet that penetrates the heart of man like your Holy Scriptures. And Lord, you are no doubt penetrating in someone's heart today. You know everyone here better than they know themselves. And Lord, there's some here today that have never truly surrendered their life over to you. They kind of live their life, they do their own thing, but yet you're not a part of it. And today you are piercing their heart because they've come to a realization that they need Jesus as their Savior because they can't save themselves. And so God, I just pray you would give them the boldness to step forward and to say, today I need Jesus as my Savior. Help them to make that decision, Lord. Give them the courage. There's others that, Lord, you know you've been calling them to do something, and they just keep putting it off. Maybe because of fear or circumstances, whatever. Lord, I just pray you give them that courage and that boldness today to make that decision. And then there's others, Lord, that they just maybe just kind of floating in the church, not doing anything, not ministering to anybody. Maybe just stuck in their faith, and they need, Lord, you to help them move forward. God, help them today, because we just want your will to be done, beginning in my life, Lord, in the life of everyone here today. And it's all for your glory and your honor, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, rose again victorious over sin and death, and is waiting for us to respond to him today. Lord, have your way. Let it be true in our soul today. My soul is well because of what you're doing. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will, I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Let's be sensitive to the ones that are still praying, but I've got some really exciting news for you. I want to introduce you to Casey and Audrey Cox. You guys will come up here so they can see you. Brother Jay and I have been meeting with this couple for a few months now, and wow, we have gotten to know each other, and I love them. I know Brother Jay does too. And he talked to them this past week, and they want to join our church. And I am so excited about that. They are both believers in Jesus Christ. And so if you agree with that, will you give them a hand? And the best part is we've already got baptism scheduled for August 12th. They want to be rebaptized. And they want you guys to be here to rejoice with them in that. So before you leave today, I want you to come up, shake their hand, tell them you love them before you leave. But this is the most important thing here. They're getting ready to head back to Texas. Casey has got some cancer issues, and he's going back for another round of chemo. And this is a tough time in their life. But I'm asking you guys to put them on your prayer list, because we've all been around something like this and we know how difficult that is. So lift them up. They are leaving on the 5th to go back down, and Casey just told me just a minute ago he's struggling this week with some of that stuff. So lift them up in prayer, tell them you love them, and shake their hand, give them a big hug, okay? I think we all can do that. I've seen this church gather around people and absolutely draw them in and love on them, okay? So let's pray. Come up here, shake their hand, and don't forget, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Mr. Ken Miller is going to be leading Bible study, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. We just give you praise. Lord, thank you for the day that we've had with the church. Lord, I thank you for KC. Lord, I just lift you up, lift him up to you right now, Lord. I just pray that your healing hand will come over his body, Lord, and that you will take over. Lord, be with Audrey as she is going through all this with him. Lord, help her to be support, give her wisdom and everything that she needs to do, Lord. Lord, I just ask that this church will come around this family right here, love on them, and encourage them through this time. Lord, thank you for this day. You are such an awesome God, and you change lives. And we just give you praise for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.